David Shapiro is our man on the markets. Dave, we aren't really going to be talking about those minute moves, but before we go into the big story of the moment, which is the presidential election in America and the cut in interest rates potentially on Thursday, there was a set of results that came out from Sefaku. Now, I hadn't really been following Sefaku Cement, but it is part of the Dangote Empire, or at least it's got some connection there. And we have been following Afrimat, which bought the cement factory in Lichtenberg. So it's quite promising to see Sefaku doing a bit better.
Alec, cement is a difficult industry to follow at the moment. We've had the imports. We're not getting the investment that we would like to keep those going. Alec, there's another important point as well. Globally, there's a shift away from cement to other kind of bonding agents. You know, if you look at the big buildings that are going up globally, they're not being put up by bricks and mortar. So I think we have to have a deep dive into this industry. In Africa, it probably still is relevant, but I think over the long term, things are changing, even the way that they make bricks. And so I think this is something we've got to look at. We're not getting the spending. We're not getting the bridges being built here. We're not getting the development. So for that side of the industry, it remains very difficult. You know, even if you look at PPC's results, yes, they slightly improved. You can get some kind of insights from cash builders as well, whether the bucky builders are buying those bags of cement. But, you know, when you say you haven't looked at it, I think somewhere along the line, we actually have to say, okay, what is the future of cement? You know, where does this fit in, given the technological developments in building globally? The way that they put up houses now, you know, almost like Lego sets. So I watch it from that point of view. I watch very carefully to see what demand is like, you know, especially through cash build and through PPC.
So cement's all going to be about infrastructure. If the government starts investing in the country, rebuilding the country in infrastructure, then cement will be okay. Something that you do look at, that we've both looked at over many years, is Tongaat. I picked up on Friday, there was a monthly report that the business rescue practitioners put out every month. On Friday, it brought 2 years. It's now 2 years since Tongaat went into business rescue. And I just got the feeling, reading through those pretty arcane kind of reports that they were doing, there wasn't a heck of a lot that's happened in the past month. And what would worry entrepreneurs or people who look at business is when business rescue practitioners get involved, they don't have much incentive to be urgent. I didn't see any urgency in that because they're just getting paid anyway. Dave, is there any hope for Tongaat?
There has to be. It's not even questionable. Do you know what I mean? It's not. When I say there has to be hope, for the simple reason of the number of people that they employ in KZN and around the country. So you can't let this go. I mean, you can't let this collapse. So somewhere along the line, there's got to be a little bit of a push to say, we have to get it done. And in some cases, as we've seen in the past with South Africa, you know, we've seen it with many businesses where maybe the banks should also become involved, you know. They've also got a duty. You know, the banks like to take a step backwards and not take any risk. I'm not a pro-banker person. You know, I don't think they do enough. They're always too cautious. But somewhere along the line, they have to realize what the collapse of this company, final collapse, you know, would mean. Yes, we don't want outsiders coming in, you know, who are opportunists. But on the other hand, something has to be done. So, again, it's another story we watch with great interest, simply because of the huge number of people that employed, you know, and these are low level workers. You know, these are very low level workers. You can't afford to let them go for whatever they do. So, Alec, it's another one of these stories that we have to watch carefully. Both those are substructures. You know, they're important. Cement, sugar cane, very important for our economy. Even though they're smaller businesses, from an employment point of view, yes.
Dave, I know no question to you is off limits, and I've had a few people prodding me and saying, ask Shapiro what's going on with Sasfin. We did cover it a while ago. Shame, man, it's second time round for you. I remember the Corp Capital thing you got,
had a
you
few.
Got sucked into.
I've had a few, Ron Frank. Of
well, you've had a long career.
The thought of this one. they've done the deal now with African banks, so I think the money will come in and support them. But I'm on the wealth side, and from our point of view, we've done very well. And they will delist, and you will find two businesses coming in. The big debate is whether we change the name or not, whether we stay with Sasfin or rebrand. But I think that will happen in the new year. My business continues. And there's nothing else I could do. Just put my head down and keep looking at the market. And unfortunately, everything else is out of my control. But it's been destabilizing, and people read the headlines. We can't ignore that, Alec. It's something in every business. You have to address it. You have to address the headlines. But I'm okay. I can still afford fresh bread on Fridays.
And so can your clients. We know that you look after them well. Dave, is it something that your clients are talking about with the U.S. presidential election? I'm going to miss Trump's crazy one-liners if he doesn't get elected. Well, if he gets elected, we're probably going to hate those crazy one-liners. But, I don't care about the polls. Polls are all wrong. I'm 10 points ahead, not 4 points behind. He really does put quite a lot of spice into this. But as The Economist said last week, he also brings huge risk. And The Economist said, rather vote for Kamala, because the risks that Trump will bring to the party are lower than her deficiencies. Are worse than her deficiencies.
I think he's lowering the bar of America. He's bringing it down a notch. He invokes or promotes violence. He promotes disunity globally. He promotes everything that you don't want in a president. I don't think we've ever seen a president who is so vindictive ever. If you look at American politics, and I like to read history. If I always get the view from my daughter who's in Boston, and her friends, and they're not mad about Kamala. They don't think she's the brightest star in the sky. But I think nor do they like Trump. And they lean towards Kamala not because they like her, or, funny enough, the woke Democratic policies. You've got to understand those as well. But I think she's a calming force. She buys time for the Republican Party to reposition itself, also for the Democrats to look at herself. I don't think she's going to be a great president. I don't, from that point of view, if she is in. But I think globally we need, we want a period of calm. I think we're tired of what we've seen in the world, whether it's Ukraine, whether it's the Middle East and that. And hopefully, I think a president like Kamala will just help, bring us on to a clear path or a decent path. He's very odd man, but he's very strange man. And what comes out of his mouth, I don't know.
You wonder what Abraham Lincoln, who is probably the greatest American president, would have thought of a man like Donald Trump. It's just so different. I've read biographies and Team of Rivals, and it's just like in a different league. But I suppose, things have moved on.
What's interesting is in those days, Lincoln was a Republican and the opposition were Democrats, which is a strange thing about American politics. But you're dead right. And if you read about Washington and Jefferson and that era, these were huge men. Yes, they might have been slave owners, and at the time, this is the late 1700s and that, but they had a moral compass which everybody wanted to follow. They were very moral people. They knew when to pull out. They knew when to go when their time was up. Nothing like this. Yes, there have been some really rotten American presidents along the way, but I don't think anybody that matches Mr. Trump.
Well, Rob Herzog reckons Trump will win. I see Daniel Princely has just posted a note there to say that Rob should get all his wealthy friends and Trump to invest in South Africa. It's not that easy, is it, Dave?
I think we need Kamala. I don't think it's going to be good for us if Trump comes in. He doesn't take any prisoners, and I think Sulu will have to really kind of crawl in on all fours to beg forgiveness, for supporting who he does, for cozying up to the Iranians and so on. He doesn't suffer people like that. And Americans in general don't. You know, they don't like people who are enemies of the nation. So I think South Africa will have to reposition itself if Trump does come in, if we want relationship with the US.
David Shapiro is with Sasfin Wealth. I think we need to say that more often, and his organization not being contaminated by the issues that happened at Sasfin.